I'm Mark.
And I'm Katie, and welcome to Life in the Mundane,
the podcast that is not afraid to tackle the difficult topics in marriage and parenting from a biblical perspective in hopes of encouraging you to make the most of the little moments in these important relationships.
Join us each week as we share advice from our unique perspective as second-generation homeschoolers who got married young, had 6 kids in 9 years, and have been through many ups and downs over the last 13 years of marriage.
We know that navigating these relationships is not easy, but we also know that if God has called you to it, He will equip you for it.
Hey guys, and welcome back to the podcast.
Yes, so we're continuing to walk through what God has been teaching us through our busy, crazy life over the last year.
Last time we talked about how Mark has been going back to school and how that's been affecting our family. But another major thing that has been going on for our family is our medical attorney.
Yes, last year our season got interrupted by a lot of medical things that came up with our daughter and with Katie and just throughout. And at that point in time, we had to take a pause from the podcast, stop recording mid-season, and now we're back and you get to hear about some of what was going on.
Yeah, this story is a little harder to tell because there's not like this definitive beginning or end to this chaos whatsoever. So we're going to kind of try to catch you up. We're going to respect our children's privacy. We have, you know, asked and we're allowed to share what we're sharing here, but we're not going to get into as much detail with it. But the thing is, if you all remember from past seasons, we have 6 kids and our 4th child was born with a genetic disorder called 22q 11.2 deletion syndrome. And that essentially means that she's missing a portion of her 22nd chromosome, and it can lead to a lot of medical issues. So for the first 4 to 5 years of her life, it was absolutely insane.
Yes, complete insanity. We really, she was behind in school recently, and someone asked, well, what's going on with that? And part of it is she's been playing catch up because the first 4 to 5 years of her life was literally focused on keeping her alive.
Mm-hmm. We were doing 6 to 10 therapy appointments / doctor's appointments every week. We were constantly traveling 3 hours away to our local children's hospital. We were just working on keeping her body functioning. That was like the biggest concern, was talking, eating, walking, things like that. And we know, because we've done a lot of research and we're part of the community of people with 22q, that it's very common that those first 4 to 5 years are going to be absolute insanity.
And then you get a break.
Then things kind of calm down a little bit. They never stop, but they just get a little less crazy. And then around puberty, they spike back up again.
Yes.
So technically we had a warning this was coming, but nothing ever prepares you.
Oh, no.
For jumping back into that chaos. And so now she's 11 and we're back to a very similar place to where we started. But I'm kind of getting ahead of myself. So let me explain a little bit what the last year has looked like. Like Mark said, we paused the podcast because she started having medical issues.
Yes.
Or she started having more medical issues.
Yeah, basically her body was freaking out. She was in a lot of pain most days. She was having a lot of headaches, stomach issues. Stomach issues that would double her over.
Mm-hmm.
There was a point where we were talking to neurosurgeons about concern of tumors or concern of possible cranial surgery, not brain surgery, but cranial surgery.
Mm-hmm.
We went down a lot of different rabbit holes trying to figure out what was going on. And it was really rough. It was a difficult time for our family. And we kind of had to set aside a lot of our extra activities to focus on taking care of our family.
And even though, thankfully, there was no tumors and we didn't have to have the surgery, there were still a lot of other things that have popped up. We have had to go back to going to the hospital on a regular basis. We've grown in our list of specialists. We've realized that she has a kidney that never fully developed past when she was in utero. So that's a new development that we're learning about. So we're watching her kidney function well. She's had a few cardiac issues that have come up, blood pressure issues, all sorts of fun things.
Some of this we're still exploring right now.
Yeah, I don't have answers to share with you guys, but it has definitely been a lot of physical things that have come up with her just in the past year.
And then beginning of last year, Katie got diagnosed with a vocal cord dysfunction. It was affecting her breathing, her ability to read aloud. This is something she had her entire life and didn't realize it. A family member of hers was diagnosed with this a few years ago and found out that it's something within her family. But just she started going to therapy for it.
Yeah, and that was hard to make the time to go to that therapy, but it was very helpful. I was getting to the point where I couldn't go out in public because so many things would trigger. Essentially, my vocal cords were trying to protect my body. And so if they started to sense any sense of danger whatsoever, my throat would just start to close up. And so obviously that causes breathing issues.
And we thought it was allergies.
And I thought it was allergies. And I went to an allergist, and I do have severe allergies. And so I got on medication for that. We worked through some lifestyle changes with that, but then realized that wasn't the full story. And they were like, let's test you for this. And sure enough, I had vocal cord dysfunction. So I went in for therapies every single week. I worked really hard in that. And then towards the end of the therapies for vocal cord dysfunction,
almost one of your last ones,
almost, I think it was my second to last one, I tripped and fell on the way into the office. It was totally my fault. There was an uneven sidewalk, and I may or may not have been looking at my phone, and tripped and fell and severely hurt my shoulder. Spent a lot of time in a sling and went to a lot of specialists for that, and ended up in physical therapy for fixing that. And then even now, like even after all of those issues, I've now been diagnosed with severe asthma, and I'm having some issues with one of my legs. So I'm back in physical therapy. So that, like, in and of itself, one of these issues would be enough to kind of throw people off balance. But the fact that my daughter's going through medical stuff, I'm going through medical stuff, and that's not all.
Yeah, our oldest daughter has been exhibiting some concerning medical symptoms, and we've been searching for answers. We're starting to get a few of them, but we're still in the process of that. And this is one of our very healthy children.
A child we've never had medical issues.
And so it's one of those, but she's starting to see a few specialists for her privacy. We're not going to go into all of that, but we've had just a lot more.
Mm-hmm. And we're still digging into all of that, but we're now traveling to the same children's hospital that we travel to for our other daughter. We're traveling now for her as well. So now all of a sudden we have two more medically complex kiddos and a mom who's falling apart.
Yeah, so, I was going to say, Katie went to the calendar last week and calculated over the last quarter. So the last 3 months, she's had over 100 doctor's appointments or therapy appointments.
Like for a whole family.
For the entire family. But yeah, that's 100 different times that she's had to leave in 90 days.
Yeah, exactly. And it's been a lot on our school. There's also been a lot of mental health issues that have come up with some of our kiddos. And with their permission, we're going to share a little bit more about how we're handling that from a biblical perspective later in this season. And we're also going to be sharing, hopefully, how this has impacted our school and homeschooling, that we have the freedom and the flexibility, which we love, but there's no way that 100 appointments within such a short period of time cannot impact your homeschooling and what that looks like. So we do want to kind of share how we've navigated that and what we've gone through to kind of figure out how this works, because we've now returned to life of 6 to 10 appointments every week. And that is a lot. That is so much to put in time-wise. There's drive time, there's prepping for these appointments, there's going to these appointments. All of these therapies have home exercises.
There's a financial cost to it. There's just doctor's bills. No matter how good your insurance is, there's going to be doctor's bills. There's gas. There's loss of potential income because you're at doctor's appointments.
Bringing that. And then with also just the therapy appointments themselves. So each therapy appointment has their own homework. And so we have a totally different daughter who's in speech therapy. So she has some homework that she has to do. My daughter with medical stuff has got vestibular therapy, counseling therapy. She's got physical therapy that she does. She has occupational therapy. She has all of these different therapies that have all of these different assignments that she needs to work on every day. And it'll be like, hey, no big deal. Just do like this exercise 1 to 2 times a day, or 3 to 5 times a day, or whatever. And you're like, but when you add that up to all the other appointments, it can become to the point where you're like, dude, all we're doing all day is exercises. So it's definitely been a challenge. It's definitely been something that is emotionally and physically and financially draining.
Yes.
But God has been so good to teach us a lot through this season, as always.
And as we mentioned last episode, Dad's going to school during all of this as well. So I've been not as available as I have been in the past for it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and the other thing on top of all of that is that we have started medical infusions, IV infusions for our daughter who has all the medical issues. One of her diagnoses is arthritis, and some of the medications she's been on for a year stopped working. And so we are now doing infusions in the hospital, which involves being in the hospital for about 4.5 to 5 hours at a time, getting these infusions. And right now, when we're recording, we're currently doing those every other week.
Yes.
We will, thank heavens, in January, when this is coming out, be able to go to just once a month. But even that is a challenge for sure.
So what's God teaching us? I'll say we laid out all this craziness that's in our life right now. God's teaching us through this, though. So what is he teaching us?
I think one of the things that, you know, it's something I've known my whole life, but I think it's something that I have clung to and gone over with my kids more now than ever, is the reality that we are humans and the current state of our broken bodies is the result of the fall, and really focusing on the hope that we're going to have a new body in heaven, and that the way we are right now is temporary. And it's something that, like, I hope they cling to on a daily basis. Every time we feel those aches and those pains, every time we have to go through those struggles with infusions or therapy exercises or things, just remembering, like, this is not how we're going to stay.
Yes, and we can really see this in Revelation 21, the first five verses. It says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city of New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be any mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away.' And he who is seated in the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.' Also he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.'" And it's such a comfort. This is a verse that we've been using with our children recently. Katie's been really taking it to heart herself a lot recently. We can look forward to someday being in heaven with Christ with a new body. All these aches and pains that we see now in our bodies, in our children's bodies, are a result of sin and the fall. And we have a promise that one day we will have a new body and they will be gone.
Well, and that last verse in particular of just like, he who is seated on the throne. So first of all, reminding you, like, we're talking about God. He who's on the throne, who's in charge of everything. He says that these words are trustworthy. Like, we can take this to the bank. This is an absolute definite. And that is just a very reassuring, like, ending verse to that whole section of just how much we can trust that this is a promise that will come to pass. And yeah, I think it's just something that's really important, whether you're dealing with chronic illness, you have kids who are dealing with chronic illness, to keep that at the forefront of, like, this world is not our home. And this is not the end all be all. I think the other thing it's helped us to do going through all these medical things is prioritize what's important.
Yeah, we've had to focus on what activities our family does that are mm-hmm. important, but we've also have to realize that, yes, every time we're told we need to go to a new therapy and we're like, oh, I'm already exhausted, I don't have time for more, but taking care of God's holy temple, taking care of our bodies, mm-hmm. which is a temple of the Lord, is important. It, mm-hmm. it shouldn't be an idol, it shouldn't be, but we should try to take care of ourselves in the body God's given us.
And it's interesting when you go through physical therapy, especially, if anybody's been through that before, you probably know that, you know, the physical therapist will kind of watch and observe how you typically do things, because God has made our bodies in incredible ways where when there is pain or discomfort or there's a challenge doing something, our bodies naturally adapt, right? They start modifying how they work. The problem is when they go outside of the design of the way they were originally made to work, that can cause other issues. So if you all of a sudden are, you know, not lifting, you know, in the right way, and you adjust how you lift because it hurts, you could actually cause more long-term damage down the road. And so it's been neat to see and just have that reminder of how really focusing and working hard now impacts our future for good. You know, I've loved sitting in on the sessions with my daughter, with our occupational therapist, who is talking to her about, like, the proper way to lift things, or even turning doorknobs and which way you should turn a doorknob so it caused the least amount of strain on your wrist and on your nerves. These things are things that I'm like, I've never even thought about why I do that. And I think it's interesting because I feel like it has driven me to look at all aspects of my life like that. Of like, hey, what am I doing now and how is that going to impact the future? What am I doing? And am I making modifications that are maybe okay right now, but down the road could be dangerous, whether that's spiritually, whether that's financially, whether that's physically. And I think that's something that it's just really made me think more. Why are we doing what we're doing? Are we doing it the way that God's prescribed? And what are the long-term implications of that?
Yeah, another thing that we're learning and figuring out is what our non-negotiables are. We used to know these are our non-negotiables. Yes. These are the things that we're always going to make sure we get done. And as life got crazy and as life got busy, busy, we weren't able to do them all.
Yeah. One of those examples is like family dinner. So we have always prioritized that we all sit down at the table and we have family dinner together. And that is still always the goal, okay?
Yes.
And that still happens. It's just in the chaos of the season and like me getting home for therapy appointment and Mark finishing up school with this, whatever. That has not always happened. However, the non-negotiable of family worship has stayed.
Yes.
So we were like, look, ideally, in a perfect world, we want to have family dinner together at the table. Then we clear the table and we sit down and we have family worship.
Yes.
In this season, we can't have both.
Not every night. Not every night. There are some nights where we're rushing out the door for Bible study or where it's one of those dinner times here and mom and one child are still at a therapy appointment or dad's off doing school.
Yeah. And so it's one of those just really stopping and thinking about your non-negotiables are and saying, okay, these are two very good things. Which one is more important?
Yes.
And in that situation, it seems like an easy choice. Right. Obviously, being in the Word with your family is more important than everyone eating at the exact same time. But there have been other things that have been hard for us to kind of figure out, non-negotiables. There have been things that have been challenging, you know, even within parenting that have been hard, because when you are taking care of the physical needs of one child, you know, you're not there with another child. And so just trying to balance that and understanding that we want to be good stewards of the children God's given us all the way around and not just pay attention to the squeaky wheel, so to speak.
Yes. Well, and with that, so with our fourth, who's been having all this medical stuff come up. Her whole life. But more recently, more coming up. Our oldest daughter was starting to feel pain. We mentioned that she's been going to the doctor, but she didn't want to tell us. Her comment to us once we found out all about all of this and we were asking how long it's been going on, she goes, well, you guys are already really, really busy trying to take care of my sister. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to add another burden. And it was a great opportunity to have a good conversation with her of, one, you're just as important. Two, we can't help you if you don't let us know that you need help.
As a parent, it was a really hard conversation. It kind of hit one of those that hits you in the gut. Like, mm-hmm. You're just like, okay, where did I go wrong that they thought that they couldn't, you know, tell us that.
I don't think she thought she couldn't tell us.
I think she just didn't want to burden us.
That's really what it was.
And so it was one of those where it's caused us to pay more attention and to, like, you know, observe and look for, like, hey, how you feeling? Are you feeling okay? Like, those kinds of things. But it's also, it's been a really good teachable moment for all of the kids, but for her as well. Like, when we talked about it, I was like, you know, if you had a friend who was hurting, maybe their feelings were hurt, maybe it was physically, maybe it was emotionally, maybe it was spiritually, but like they were hurting, would you feel burdened if they told you about that? Or would you feel more burdened if they like kept it from you because they didn't want to overwhelm you? And she's like, well, I would feel more upset if they didn't tell me. And I'm like, yeah, exactly, because you care about them and you love them and you want to be there for them. And it's the same thing for mom and dad. No matter what, I told her the only thing that makes me super upset or frustrated is when doctors don't listen. And the only thing that makes me super sad is when my kids are hurting and I'm not able to help. And I was like, I can't help if I don't know. So it's been really good but hard lesson to learn, I guess, and to work through. And ultimately, clinging to God's sovereignty in all of us
has been
the biggest thing.
We've mentioned in past seasons that that's a big point that we're always learning. But it's, again, we're always learning this as every time we have a spike in something that's going on, it's easy to either despair or to try to take care of it within our own strength or all these other things when really God is sovereign. God is in control.
He is in control.
And we have to rest on him first. And then we can go into how do we handle this.
We have to have that complete dependence on him. And that's something that these seasons of chaos, like that's kind of this whole season of the podcast is talking about our season of chaos. These seasons of chaos are to point us back to the fact that we need to be fully dependent on Christ.
Yeah. We've got several passages we're going to read here as a reminder of needing to be dependent on Christ. First one is Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. We really have to lean on God and trust in him because without him, we would despair.
Well, and the whole part of that verse that talks about and lean not on your own understanding. Like when we look at these situations, when I'm in the midst of this chaos, when we're waiting for labs to come back or we're waiting on, you know, answers for things, it can feel overwhelming and hopeless and frustrating. And the reality is going, okay, in my understanding, you know, this is all falling apart. In my understanding, we can't do this. This is not physically possible. But I'm very thankful for my husband or for friends and family members who remind me that, like, hey, lean not on your own understanding. Lean on Christ. He can do far above what you understand.
Yeah, we see that again in Isaiah 41:13. For I, the Lord your God, hold your right hand. It is I who say to you, fear not. I am the one who helps you. We have no need to fear because we know God is with us. We see in Proverbs 16:9, the heart of the man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. It's hard to talk about where we're headed because we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to talk about what's going to happen or what our plans are within this, because honestly, I can't tell you what next week is going to look like as far as our medical journey with our family. There are some days I don't know what tomorrow is going to look like medically with my family. But this season is one that gives us a more obvious opportunity to lean on God and his faithfulness. Something we've gotten away from recently, but we really want to start back up, is our thankfulness box, because we started that thankfulness box. We talked about it in season one. We started our thankfulness box in a season like this to remember when we're in a tough season like this, God's provision for us.
Yeah. And just a quick recap, in case you haven't heard that episode, it's the idea that every night we go around and everyone says something that they're thankful for, and we write that down on a note card and put it in a box. But the rule is you can't duplicate something that you're thankful for. So it causes you to really dig deep and think about new things and not just kind of fall into the rut of friends, family, house, whatever. You can say those things, but only one time. So, you know, having those stones of remembrance, right? Having those things where we see God's faithfulness and we hold on to that and we remind ourselves of that constantly is so critical in these moments of overwhelm. And I don't want this at all to sound like, you know, oh, we're going through a hard time, but it's okay. Like there have been so many tears, there have been panic attacks, there have been frustrations over this whole entire process. But ultimately, we filter those lies, we filter those struggles, those things, those feelings, those thoughts, through truths.
Yes. And one of those truths is Isaiah 40:29. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. We approach these things with no might in and of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And he is providing strength to us. Yeah. I say God, as God's called us to this journey. This is not something either of us, I think, would have chosen on our own.
We didn't sign up for that.
But he called us to it, and he's equipped us for it. And through him, we can handle this. And if you're going through a similar thing, that's the thing to remember. Lean on him, not on your own understanding.
Mm-hmm.
God may have called you to something difficult, but he will not abandon you in that.
And to really take the opportunity to not withdraw.
Yes.
It's very easy in these hard seasons, especially medically, because everything's so chaotic, to just withdraw. But to prioritize, like, one of those rocks, one of those non-negotiables has to be being a part of a church family, mm-hmm. being a part of that community of believers who can encourage you, who in those moments when you start leaning on your own understanding can say, don't forget, we're leaning on Christ.
And be vulnerable with them. Mm-hmm. Let them know what's going on, because the body of Christ can come around and pray for you or serve you.
Mm-hmm.
There are times when it's one of those around you might be willing to help you, but they don't know.
Yeah, I see a lot of times with families of kids who have medical needs or special needs who feel very hurt or gypped by the church, who get very frustrated. I think there are definitely times where people have really, really messed up and have not been sensitive to situations, have not been caring, have not shown love of Christ. But I do think there are also a lot of times where people expect the church to just get it, to understand it, to know exactly what they need and to do that. And, you know, that gets into kind of another conversation. I'm not trying to like go down a major rabbit hole here, but like, I do think it's important that we recognize that we can share those things. We can share our struggles. We can share, you know, what would be helpful would be XYZ.
Yeah.
Because I think it's important that we are in that community and that we don't just isolate and say, well, you don't understand. You couldn't possibly understand because you've never walked through this. And keep it to ourselves.
Yes. And with that, well, we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks again for listening. If you found this helpful, we would love for you to share the podcast and leave a review, as it helps spread the word so that hopefully more families can be encouraged to make the most of the little moments in their marriage and parenting. Talk to you again next week. Bye.